stairs like this, one step at a time, in incredible pain, just immense pain to do that. She said, but watch. And she starts running up and down the stairs. She's running up and down, up and down. Her back pain completely went away. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Levy was talking in his office. I think he mentioned that night. They feel it was a boomerang factor. As they pray for people, they got a miracle. You know what? Here's the thing. Levy and Delia were there that Friday night because we had invited them. Because we'd called them and said, hey, would you go to these meetings? He said, yeah, you know, let me talk. Maybe we'll meet you there. And they met us there, and she got healed. Well, so Levy and I are connected that way. But you know how we got connected? Conley connected us through Christ Anglican. So Conley connects me and Levy. My connection with Levy helps bring Levy and Delia there where she gets her healing. Then she lays her hand on Cigna and she gets healed. Just, And something that I'd mentioned Tuesday night, if you were there, that we figured out, we realized this in Levy's office as we were meeting there on Tuesday. You know, where she received her miracle is the same room where the last 4 years we've had the Opportunity for Unity Concert of Prayer, right? We had no idea we were plowing ground. We had no idea we were sending forth prayers for the kingdom of God to come in the same room where she'd get her miracle. And even more, if you remember, in the OFU, the stage is extended out further. When she got her miracle, you know where she was? Right at the front of the stage that's there now. What that means is, for 4 years in a row, Delia has led worship on the very same square inch of property on the earth where she got her healing. That's just something, I'm telling you. Here's what that means. I was telling Jim Hilton about that, and Jim said, he said, you know what? God doesn't waste anything. Amen. He gathers up all the fragments. Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Here's the thing. We talked in Levy's office that day, and we mentioned it that night. 2 years ago, the OFU Concert of Prayer, in that room, Marianne and I sat on the stage right next to John and Brenda Kilpatrick. So he was part of that night. And while somebody else was speaking, John saw a ship going out to the bay, down the river, out to the bay. It was going out in the ocean. And he leaned over to Levy. He said, Levy, look at that ship. See the name on it? You know what it was named? Kairos 2. Now, Kairos, for those who don't know, there's two words in Greek for time. There's chronos, which is like clock time. What time is it? But then there's Kairos, and that means the appointed time. It's a moment. A divine moment, the appointed time. Well, here's John Kilpatrick, who had pastored the Pensacola outpouring, the Brownsville revival, you know, 15 years ago. And he sees this ship, 2 years, it says Kairos 2. And now, in that same room, the same building, there's another outpouring. I'm telling you guys, that's incredible stuff. He really doesn't waste anything. Now, it goes layers and layers deep that I can't even get into right now. But here's the thing. I was talking to Levy and Delia all week, and then so we were there together Thursday night at Revival, and then Friday night as well. And on Friday night, something else happened. People have been asking, and all through comments and blogs all week in response to the video, well, what's she doing now? Is she walking? Is she walking more? And we had told Delia in Levy's church, we said, listen, here's what you know. From watching that video, you can tell that whatever kept you from walking is gone. Now it's a matter of just regaining balance and stamina and strength. And I think that was a prophetic word to the body of Christ, but you're regaining balance and stamina, strength, and all that. And so he said, that's what's going on now. And so we expected here's some things some of you guys don't know yet. All right, and this is not my sermon, but I just have to relate this to you because it's part of what God's... You know, Monday morning I got up saying, man, how could this week ever outdo last week? And boom, it's been crazy. But here's what I have to tell you. Levy told me this, and then he shared it publicly, so I can tell you. But it was a very personal thing, but he shared it. So here's the thing. He said, you know, Levy was married for a number of years, some 30, 40 years, before his wife died of cancer. And then he remarried. He married Delia after that. But they've been married 9 years. Well, you know, she's been in a wheelchair almost 23 years. Before they were married, she, you know, in her ministry, her singing ministry, she has sung in conferences with all the biggest names in healing evangelism all over the world. And every time she's been with one of those guys, they want to pray for her. They gravitate to her because she's in a wheelchair, and they pray for her, and they pull her up. And Levy says she has been dropped and flopped and plopped all over the world. And frankly, she was done with that. If she had known that God was ministering healing in these meetings through this evangelist, she never would have come, because she was through with all that. She was through being embarrassed. And Levy wouldn't have let her come. Levy told her when they got married, he said, as long as you're married to me, you will be safe with me. And in a meeting, you'll be safe especially. I'll protect you. So when you watch that video, now watch, think about this. All the times she's been prayed for, she was through with that stuff. You watch the video again. When she's sitting in the wheelchair, notice, Nathan, here's what, again, something you don't know, you can't tell in the video. Nathan never says to her, stand up or get out of the chair. Not once. All he said was, he just prayed that faith would rise in her. So for her to reach down and take her feet off the pedals and fold those things up, that was the miracle. When Delia had faith to move on that, that was the breakthrough right there. So everything after that is just the manifestation of the miracle that happened as faith rose in her. Incredible stuff. So then she pops out of there. In fact, here's what Nathan said. When she popped out of the chair and said, he thought it was over. He thought that was all that's going to happen tonight. I mean, that's awesome for crying out loud. But then she starts walking. See, Nathan, he didn't know. He had no idea. He had no faith for that. And he'll tell you, he didn't know it was going to. It's not like he was praying, shoot. He was just praying faith to rise. And she came up out of the chair. The room exploded. She fell back down. He thought, wow, that was cool. Okay. Woo. God's good. He thought that was it. So, now, all this past week was the issue walking. Well, Friday night, man, the showed a clip of the video. Every time she's in the presence of God, she wants to walk again. So, there's a new video on, and I want you to watch this. I want to show you what you're seeing. She began to walk, and now you'll watch as she begins to walk unassisted. Watch. You'll see Levy and John Kilpatrick kind of steadying her, balancing, but that's all they're doing. At one point, go ahead and turn the lights off. At one point, you'll see Levy takes his hands off of her, and she walks. Watch this. Turn that up. If they're not carrying her, they're thinking you got a rip. That's not taking any weight off. Watch this. Look at that. Fire. Wait, what? Look. Look at that. Look. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look. 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 Levy, they got her hands off. They're not carrying her weight. That's balance. look at that. Look. Watch. Look. Look. Look at Levy. He's got his hands off. Look. Yes, Lord! Look at that. Yeah! Let me just say, our God is greater. Now, they stood, if you were there that night, you saw them, they stood and hugged for a long time. You need to understand something. They have never hugged standing up before. You understand? She's never stood. They have never embraced like that ever before. Okay. Some good stuff. Thank you, God. Where? What? Oh, yeah, I'll share that with you real quick. If y'all want to hear that? All right. Well, let me just, all right, let me tell you. And we got stuff to do. We're going to, all right then. I'll tell you what I felt like the Lord said when we were there. I felt like I had a word from the Lord that what he's doing see, very often in Scripture you'll see where God was, he will use what he's doing in people's lives as a sermon illustration. He will preach to the nation that way. And I feel like really, honestly, it's a prophetic word, what's happening with Delhi. I think it's no accident this is going all over the world. I think what the Lord is saying is now the bride of Christ is on her feet. And that this is present tense, not something to come, but the bride of Christ has found her legs again. And that God is restoring to the body now strength that we might stand, having done all to stand. He is restoring back balance and cooperation and coordination to the body of Christ so that the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. See? And he is restoring stamina to the body of Christ. See, as we walked, here's the thing, as we walked with Delia in the church auditorium that afternoon, she sat back down and her legs are just shaking. You know why? Because those muscles hadn't been used in 23 years. They were fatigued, but God is now restoring stamina to the body of Christ so that we may run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so the image I was left with is, if you've seen the video, you know this. She said, here's what's happening. The bride of Christ has found her legs, and she is stomping out darkness in leopard print high heels. So I just think that's something that the Lord is trying to say to the body at large. So anyway, it's cool stuff that God is speaking. Y'all, can I tell you something? I mean, I think you know this, but let me just reiterate. We've been doing church here for 7 years. This is a significant moment in history. Don't miss it. Guys, this is not something we're just going to brush over and then walk. I'm telling you, God is up to something. And it's some good stuff. So don't miss it. Don't miss it. This is incredible. Now, I'm going to tell you in just a few moments. I do have some scriptures here. I'm going to tell you what to do. Well, I'll explain that in just a moment. Now, all right. Tuesday night, we're at Levy's church. And let me tell you something. At Levy's church, at Living Word Christian Center, Tuesday night, it was, I think, a perfect illustration of what the leaders of this, of the Bay of the Holy Spirit revival, want to see, which is, John Kilpatrick says over and over, revival shouldn't suck other churches dry. He tells people, if you're local, you know, go to your church on Sunday morning. Don't come here. Don't give your tithes to Church of His Presence. Don't go. Be faithful. Be loyal to your local church and pastor. Give. You know, I'm going to tell you this, too. Most of you don't know this, but John said this Tuesday night, I think. You know what he's done for years? If somebody joins his church, he did it at Brownsville, and he does the Church of His Presence. If they join his church, he finds out what church in town they've come from, and he sends their tithe back to that church for a month to give that church an opportunity to adjust to the fact that these people are not there anymore. You know, that's integrity. Let me say this to you. I almost read that. Tuesday, all right, here's the deal. And I'm going to be really transparent with you. Tuesday, when Levy had invited me to this meeting with them on Tuesday, Levy and I talked about this, and we said, you know what? This is going to be a great opportunity to really talk to them about the kingdom and see this, maybe help John and Nathan move from revival language, which is kind of self-limiting because we expect revivals to end, into a kingdom of God manifestation, in a kingdom language. And so we talked about that, and Levy and Delia and I talked about that a lot. And then, so John and Nathan came in, and I was ready. I was fully prepared. People were praying for me, and I was prepared to, with all humility and modesty, school them on the truths of the kingdom of God. They got in that room. Within the first 5 minutes, I said to myself, I will speak when I'm spoken to. And it's not that I don't have anything to offer, but the idea was, here's the thing. It didn't take me long to realize these guys have paid a price, and they have pressed in, and they've seen God and heard God more in ways that I can't touch. And so I said, you know what? I'll just take my place against the wall and thank God that I'm in the room. Now, as we talked, we did get to talk about that. And in fact, Levy and I have talked about how we're hearing now in Nathan's messages echoes of kingdom concepts that we've discussed with them. And so we're hearing that come out. which is an incredible thing. I thank God for that. But honestly, guys, the Lord just humbled me in a really beautiful way that day. I was just glad to be around them. I was glad to be in that room and just to see the things that I saw. It's an awesome privilege. So it's exciting to be part of that. Okay, so that was Tuesday. Tuesday night was just wonderful, beautiful, powerful service, man. It was an example of what they want to see, which is this embracing this move of God happening in churches all over the city, not just on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays at the convention center, but happening all over the city. So then Wednesday night, I'm waiting for my kids to get home from our youth group here, and Sarah calls me and says, "Dad, not coming home right now. Something's happening." Sarah, come up here. Let me give me this mic here, Charles, okay? So anyway, Sarah calls me and she says, "Dad, fire of God's fallen our youth group, and something's happening, and can't come home yet. So here, you just tell them however you want. What happened Wednesday night?" Yeah, in about 30 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. No, dude, you tell them what happened Wednesday night. Wednesday night at youth.
Okay. I just can't even talk right now.
I know.
The presence of God just fell, and the fire of God just touched people's lives, and there were just chains being broken, and it was crying and laughing, and I can honestly say that that's the strongest I've ever felt the presence of God before in my life, was right there in that room.
Wow.
But, see, we started out the night, and we showed the video of Dahlia walking.
Boom, baby.
So we started off on a pretty good foot. Pretty good foot, yeah.
Start off on a good foot. Foot, you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Hung around me too long.
And we started worship. And the second song, I just remember the chorus was, I don't know what song it was, but it was "Come Lord Jesus, Come." Mm. And I was like, "Come Lord Jesus, Come," because I just want the revival to carry over. And I want the fire that I've seen at the revival to just come over the youth group. And it was about the second time we sang that chorus, God was just like, "I'm here, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do with my presence here?" So I ran back to Mr. Neal and I was like, "Do you have a message?" And he was like, "Well, I have one prepared." So I ran back up and took the mic and I was just like, I know some of you have seen the fire and I know you want it. And as soon as I said that, people just started coming up and getting prayed for. I got Aaron and Sydney to come and pray for people. And there were kids there that I've been praying for weeks. That from Baker. There are about 10 kids from Baker High School there. And some of them, I just know, they were done. They were done with trusting in God. And they were done with His presence. And God just touched them. And God just restored them. And it was just so strong and so powerful. And I just see it's going to increase. And we're going to have to move down here pretty soon.
That's right.
The kids are going to have in here.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you. See, there were kids there. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. here's what you understand. This is not just a Holy Spirit party. There were lost kids, high school kids getting saved here Wednesday night. Here are kids getting saved and getting right with God here in this. That's incredible. I mean, that's what we're here for. So let's keep doing that. So, all right. Now, let me hear from one more. Victor, where's Victor? Victor Singh, where'd he go? You better get him back in here. What's he doing not in here? He's ushing. Oh. Come here, Victor. Trying to get out of the service. I hadn't even started preaching yet, and already. Come here. Y'all remember last Sunday morning we talked about living God, speaking, and hearing God. All right, and I was looking for a volunteer. So when I saw Victorson, I just knew that the Lord had just like highlighted, spotlighted him. I said, "Okay, Victor needs it." So we did this experiment, right, where we said, "Victor, ask God how he feels about you." And here's what we saw. That took a different turn than it's ever been before as I've been doing that. And I said, "Victor, have you heard anything from the Lord about what he's saying to you?" And he said, "No." I said, "And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's because it's time for y'all to learn to hear me through the body." And so I asked you guys, have y'all heard? Man, hands went up all over the room. I've got a word for him. And the major word that came forth, here's one of the major themes was, you can do this, I'm with you, right? And Marianne had a strong word that others got as well that says, you know, that y'all, and you understand, when the Lord wants to tell you how he feels about you, it's not always just a fluffy, oh, well, you're so sweet kind of thing. Sometimes it's, I love you, and oh, I'm so excited about what you're about to do. And that was kind of the word that came is okay, I'm pushing you out of the nest. Something's happening here, and I'm with you. You can do this. It's encouragement. And so left that day, and here, let me give you the microphone now. Oh, yeah. Let me at least ask you, let me ask you this, Victor. What was it that was spoken to you that really, that had an impact on you that we didn't even know, but how did it confirm or line up with what God was saying to you?
It was kind of like, it was so many things at so many different angles, you know. It was just little things that were just going on with me and just simple stuff that just made a difference, you know. I mean, things that I've been reading in the Bible reflected about him talking about David. Where's the guy at?
That was Charles up there. Charles, David, yeah.
Yeah, here he is. He disappeared on me. But, yeah, and, you know, I mean, just... I don't know. It just all came together. I ended up getting a call from the fire department, so I'm going to be having a junior career there and be moving on.
Now, wait. Here's what you need to understand about that. All right, let me get the sequence of events here a little bit, too. This is Haley called me on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, pray for us. Something's happened. Sunday night, they were broken into, right?
Yeah.
Somebody broke into your home. They found a key, I think, in one of the cars, a house key, and came in the middle of the night in about a three-hour window and stole...
They stole my father-in-law's wallet,
my mother-in-law's purse.
They stole my wife's laptop, her camera, and they just ransacked pretty much Haley's car, but they didn't touch anything else. Nothing of mine got touched.
Amen. 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 That's God right there.
Thank you for praying for me.
All right, but here's something you understand. They were in the house asleep, 6 feet away with their doors open from these people who were in their house stealing stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong, or don't really. People say that. I don't really mean that. But no, I think they found like a pipe outside that, yep, that the police were pretty confident that if these burglars had been confronted, they would have used it on somebody. Now, Haley has had trouble sleeping for a while. That night, though, Victor did something that the Lord did. They prayed together before they went to sleep, and she slept soundly all night long. She says she stirred at one point because she woke up because she felt Victor's hand on her head praying for her. Now, if anybody had woken up and heard the noise, it could have been bad. But here's the thing. Here's what I got. The first thing I remembered, the major theme of the word you got Sunday morning is the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Man, and they were protected Sunday night. See, God, listen, here's what the Bible says. God watches over his word to perform it. And then Monday he gets a call from the fire department for an interview. This is a position he's been trying to get for 3 years. And on that day, they call him for an interview. Yeah, Aaron. Wow. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, that's the Lord. I think we've seen that. That's God, man. That's good. Is that Haley in the nursery? Is she in the nursery? Someone go relieve her for a second so she can run in here.
Also, I think that word means that he's calling Victor out. And that's a not good.
Yeah, that's right. You're being set apart. It's a calling up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't have shoes on. It's all right. Most people don't when they're on the stage anyway. I'll take the microphone. I'm not gonna say, but is there anything you want to share about what happened last week? We've been talking about Sunday night, Monday morning.
I'll tell you what was funny though. I do want to mention this that really got me is when Mark was sitting there. He's like, He goes, I'm gonna call somebody out. And immediately, I just sunk. I was like, he's gonna call me. I just knew it. I don't know what it was, but I knew he was going to call me. And he looked over here, and he looked over here, and he looked back at me, and he looked over here. I was like, oh, he's going to do it. And then he called me. I was like, hey, he's going to call me.
You remember?
I need somebody. I was like,
He said, I should have went ahead and started.
I said, I should have just went ahead and started walking up.
Did you hear him when I called him? He said, I knew it. I knew you were going to call me. I knew it.
I knew it, too. My heart jumped whenever you said his name. Okay, have you told him yet?
Yeah, I told him.
Oh.
I told him everything.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be a while. Y'all sit down.
No. All right, well, you know, we just had an awesome day Sunday, and God's really been moving in Vic, and, you know, he's just, he's really just been moving our family, and, you know, Victor's been reading his Bible. He's been, you know, just getting in the Word at night, and I'm shaking. It's been a long time since he's done that. And so Sunday, I've been struggling with a spirit of fear and anxiety over my family, over the protection of my kids, and even sometimes my own health. And I've really been battling. I've had a lot of people praying for me. And Sunday was just so awesome. And after, you know, watching Delia walk and then having, you know, Victor just that, you know, the whole thing with the Word and hearing Victor telling me all these words, you know, he was like, oh my gosh, this is what I was thinking. And I've been thinking about this for weeks now. And so, you know, I went to sleep Sunday night and I didn't check on the kids two or three times in the night. I didn't do anything like that. I just went right to sleep and I fell asleep in his presence and I thanked the Lord. And, you know, and Victor said before we went to bed, he said, can we pray together while we were laying in bed? And it's been a long time since that's happened. And I said, of course you can. And so we started praying and we prayed for protection for the family. And we just, you know, prayed for all of us. And then in the night I was asleep and I don't know what time it was, but we were in the bed and I felt a hand on my head. And I said, that's a praying hand. I could feel, I knew it, you know, I came out of sleep. And Victor was praying for me in the night while we were laying in the bed. And the people that broke in came in between around 12:30 and 4 o'clock, because that's when my dad gets up to go to work. And so in that short period of time is when they came in. And so I don't know if he was praying at the same time that they were in there or not, but I just think it's a strange coincidence.
I prayed for you in between. I fell asleep and woke up. And then
yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. They could have been in there. We don't know. We didn't hear them. But But anyways, yeah, they came in. My kids were were asleep about 5 feet away from the people being inside of our home. Wow. And but we were okay, you know.
Yeah, do you realize? Thank you. You know what we've been saying for months? That part of your sonship and daughtership is what?
Protection.
Protection. And provision and promotion. Isn't that awesome?
Promotion. He's a firefighter, by the way.
Yeah. Y'all thank God for speaking to them. Amen. Oh, man. I love it when a plan comes together. Last week, honestly, I was thinking, you know, I don't know that I'm going to preach today. Because I just thought, Lord, but I really thought the Lord said, no, talk about, you know, hearing the living God. And so I'm glad I did. I'm glad we did that. All right. I have something. Before we dismiss the children, there's one. I know. No, there's one thing. And this, you know, I don't know what this is about. I'm just telling you guys, we're walking in some new things. This morning, I've heard of this happening, and Nathan talks about happening. This morning, I woke up with a medical term on my mind that I have absolutely never heard before in my life. There's no way I could make this up. In fact, it so startled me that first thing I did is I grabbed my phone and Googled it. And it's real. And then I asked Marianne, who was in the shower, I said, look it up. She said, I can't quite figure it out what it is, but it's real. It's on these medical journals. Anyway, so I just want to see if anybody here has this. You know somebody has it. If not, fine. If it's just the Lord speaking. But it's dystrophic neuropathy. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Don't gasp if it's not you. So, this dystrophic neuropathy. Your sister has dystrophic neuropathy. I have. She can hardly walk. All right. I have never in my life heard of that. With the nerves, deterioration. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard about neuropathy too, but dystrophic neuropathy, I've never heard it before. And your sister has that. Hey, what do y'all say we pray for her? Yeah. Come here, Sheila. Can you get her on the phone? Well, I know. Let's see if we can get her on the phone, though. Do you know her number? Oh, you got it? And this is, which sister is this? What's her name? Kay, I'm at Kay. Here, Neil's got her number. Okay, all right. She's not there. All right. Lee, you know what? The power of God can touch her wherever she is. Come here, Sheila. Tom, why don't y'all come up here? Neil, Pam, y'all gather around your mom and dad, okay? Mm-hmm.
I live every day.
All right, I got a scripture for you. All right. I was going to read this part of the message. I'll just go ahead and start. All right, listen to Sheila. Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread throughout Syria. So they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed epileptics and the paralytics, and he healed them. So there's a word in Scripture for healing for intense pain. All right, y'all, stretch your hands out toward them. Yeah, anybody, a couple of you come up and gather around. We're going to let Sheila stand in for Kay. Let's pray and just declare this on behalf of Kay. We've seen the Lord do this, heal at a distance many times. And we're going to ask for an overflow of healing, Sheila, that comes through you as well. We're going to ask just for an overflow, that boomerang effect, just to burst through you even as we do this. Father, God, we ask right now, Lord, for complete healing for Kay, especially as we've gotten that word right now. Father, we stand on her behalf, and right now we declare dystrophic neuropathy broken, finished, canceled, and over. It is over right now in Jesus' name. It's over. Dystrophic neuropathy now has no more room in Kay Purden, and the assignment is over. Father, we pray for recovery, for a new feeling in her legs, in her feet. Father, we pray that this would be one that you would cause to walk. Because dystrophic neuropathy now is canceled, it's done in her life. Father, we believe that what your word says, you said that you sent your word and healed them. So, Father, we receive your word today as healing for Kay. We pray that wherever she is at this moment, that she would feel the breaking of that she would feel feeling coming back into her legs and her feet. Father, we look forward to the day when she walks in this building to testify of your great love. Now, Father, let that be manifest in her life right now in Jesus' name. Dystrophic neuropathy, we say now in the spirit, you are done. It's over. You cannot stay. Your assignment is broken in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who gave his blood for this woman. Now we say it's over. You must go. Father, now let feeling, let healing now be restored in full measure. And Father, we pray that the healing would be in such abundance that Sheila herself now would receive healing in Jesus' name. Father, we know that your word says that you healed people with intense pains. And so now we cut off that pain now in Jesus' name. Right now, we declare intense pain finished and over. So Lord, now let healing flow. Let the fire of God now burn through her in Jesus' name. Come, Lord. Come, God. Come, Lord. Yes, God. Come, Lord. We declare a new day and a new season for Sheila. We declare a breaking from the pain of the past, that it's a new time and a new day. Now, Lord, for the desperate, for the hungry, we thank you for your presence. We ask you, Lord, now to minister your healing through the blood of Jesus. We declare now that Sheila, having been bought by the blood of your son, now is covered by that blood and protected in that. So now, Lord, let healing flow. Let the pain be gone now and forever. From this day forward, let every day for Sheila be an encounter with the true and living God. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Just going to wait on the Lord for just a moment.
The fire of God.
Yes, Lord.
Complete restoration.
Yes, Lord.
No pain, no anxiety,
yes, Lord.
No anything that isn't you, God. Yes. Take everything that is unhealthy out of her body and make Jesus.
Yes.
Restore her, God. Reconcile everything to you.
Yes,
and your purpose is God.
Yes,
reconcile everything to your holy name.
Yes, God. I feel direction from the Lord. We're going to let one part of the service meld into another. So here's what this means. I feel like the Lord's saying this is a time to preach the word, and there will be healing, there will be release coming even as we preach the word of God. We're going to allow these to minister as long as they need to, okay? You guys just do whatever you need to. I mean, again, I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to hurry anything or cut it off. I just feel like the Lord's saying there's more power yet to come. There's more release to come. There's something especially, there's a scripture that I want to get to that I think speaks to this very thing, okay? So y'all stay in ministry as long as you need to. We're going to dismiss the children for children's church and preschool church. But soak, pray, do whatever you need to as long as you need, okay? Yep.
When Casey asked, she could run up here, and I was, first I said no, and I remember the Heidi, the blonde woman who believes in the power of children.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. And that's awesome, isn't it? I know that the children praying. Man. Here's the thing. Something that, you know, I think something's broken here today.
Amen.
And that's over. So we declare that over and done with. Yeah, amen. Good. All right, y'all open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew. Chapter 11. The first passage I was going to read was that one from Matthew 4. For Jesus, they brought to him all those who were afflicted, who had intense pains, various diseases. Just, that's all right, you don't have to go anywhere.
She said she came with pain in her neck, and the pain's gone.
The neck pain's gone? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Yes. Hey, you keep giving reports. As all that pain goes away, you let us know, okay? And we'll praise God with every moment. Yeah. The reason they're not here sometimes is because of the pain. And so we expect to see here all the time. All right. Good. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Y'all, you know, here's the thing. Ramona is just experiencing the joy of God here. You hear her laughing. But here's why that's important for those of you who say, well, I don't know about that holy laughter. Listen, her father passed away 2 weeks ago. So that ain't bad. You understand? That's significant. That's important. That's cool. All right. All right, Matthew. Well, that's not going to bother me at all. Matthew chapter 11. Let me read you something. I want to talk to you for just a few moments here about how to embrace a move of God, how to not hold back, how to enter in, how to identify it and know that it's of the Lord and all that, okay? Here's why this is important. You know, I come from I grew up Southern Baptist, and I thank God for that heritage and that legacy and grounding me in the Word of God. There's great respect for Scripture and integrity, and so I appreciate that very much. As we've come into the things of the Spirit, I realize that not everything, that I wasn't told everything. They were holding back. There was stuff in the Lord that I hadn't walked in. And so as we've come into that, we've begun to discover what the Lord is doing all over. And so when revivals come or moves of God come, you know, we always go back to this thing. I revert back to this deal that says, well, I need to know if that's of God. Is that of God? Because, you know, not every move of God is of God. Well, that's kind of contradictory anyway. But as we started going to this, to the revival called the Bay of the Holy Spirit Revival, because you know, don't you, that Mobile Bay, that's the original name of it. I mean, the Spanish named it Bay of the Holy Spirit. And I have a map in my office that is labeled that in Spanish. I can't read it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it says. So as we started going, I mean, the first night we were there, Mary Ann had an incredibly strong encounter with God. I mean, a physical thing. I couldn't feel anything. I just got frustrated because the lady behind me wouldn't shut up. Yeah, I was frustrated. I didn't feel anything. Went back another couple of times, and I thought it was good. I couldn't see anything wrong with it, but it wasn't anything special. And then Delia walked, and everything changed for me. But honestly, I didn't really feel this presence of God like I have till last Sunday. I could hardly stand. You know, yesterday, I couldn't get out of bed. I laid there and just wept. And I hadn't felt that in 14 years, not since we were at Brownsville, but just that constant presence of God and just being overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord and all that He's doing. So I decided on Tuesday, as I was meeting with Levy and John Kilpatrick and Nathan Morris, I said, you know what? I decided after that meeting that I've been scripturally kicking against the goads, it says. I've been resisting something that's meant to drive me forward by saying, well, I wish they'd get in the kingdom language. You know what? Right now, I don't care what you call it. It's God. I mean, the Lord's at work. God's moving. He's healing people. And so, but this week, as this video of Delia walking went all over the world, when I posted that video on my YouTube account, I immediately disabled comments and voting, or within about an hour. Because frankly, I was in no mood to hear the skeptics. I don't want to hear it. I don't want anything to do it. And frankly, I was trying to protect Delia and Levy from that Levy, because John Kilpatrick was calling them Levy. Delia and Levy, I was trying to protect them from that because they were saying, you know, this is a holy moment. We don't want to touch it. And so I decided the God mockers don't have a voice in that. So I disabled that. Now, others have allowed it, and that's fine. So as I've looked at other links and places where it's been put on blogs and news sites and all that, every now and then it was in AL.com and the pastors. And so, you know, I go down and, I mean, you know this. I told you this. Every article you read if you read in the comments long enough, it becomes a religious discussion. I mean, I told you, I read an article on the 10 most useful accidental inventions, and the very first comment was, well, the most worthless invention is religion. Oh, for crying out loud. So they started talking. Well, I knew the comments would just be on fire. So as I read a few of the comments in this article, and of course, you know, one of them said, and I'm going to just tell you, one of them said, well, when these crooks cause an amputee's limbs to grow, then I'll believe. And I thought, no, you won't. You know what I mean? The people who are not going to believe, they're not going to, no matter what they see, they're not going to believe it. And I'm going to show you why in just a second. So I found a place to put this. So here's what I want to equip you with today. If we're going to embrace this move of God, you're going to hear criticism, there's going to be skepticism, and there are going to be some people, both from the church and from the world, who have good, solid arguments, or at least passionate arguments for why it's not God. And you need to know what to do with that. And I want to help you. Okay? But first, let's see if this is a move of God. You know, yeah. Is it today's paper too? All right, good. The reporter Roy Hoffman wrote an article yesterday in AL.com after Friday night, and he interviewed Delia and Levy with, his iPhone or something, to put the video up there. And he was just awed by it. There was nothing negative in that article at all. It was this guy saying, I don't know what this is, but she's walking. Yeah, Bill. Roy is Jewish. I love it. Oh, man. What a setup, man. So, you know, one of the questions people begin to ask if something's happening is that of God? Well, I don't know if it's of God because people are falling out or they're shaking or whatever. Somebody told me something years ago. I told you before we went to Brownsville, Terry Bryant said, Mark, if you go to Brownsville, you're probably going to see some 15-year-old girl and she'll be shaking. He said, and that may be the flesh, probably just emotion. You're not all of them, but you can see somebody that's trying to work it up. He said, she may be in the flesh. He said, but I guarantee you she's no more in the flesh than some cold, dead deacon's been sitting and still in a church pew for 40 years, hadn't served God. He said, and we'll judge that girl trying to find God, but we won't judge that stone, cold, dead deacon. Amen. And so I decided, you know what? I'm not going to. Steve Hill used to say all the time in Brownsville, he said, pastors, keep your grubby hands off the move of God. So, it is good, though, for us to ask this question, is this the Lord? All right, there was a point where Jesus was doing ministry, and in his ministry, he was going about preaching the kingdom, healing people, and John the Baptist, his cousin, who had introduced him to the world, behold, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world, John had been put in prison. So in Matthew chapter 11, here's what happens. Verse 1, when Jesus had finished giving orders to his 12 disciples, he moved on from there to teach and preach in their towns. And when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent a message by his disciples and asked him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Now here's the problem. John, who really believed Jesus was the Messiah, the one to come, the one, the deliverer, the Savior, the King, John, just like all the other good Jews of his day, expected the Messiah to be the one who would ride in and deliver them from the rule of Rome and would be a military leader and would bring Israel back to number one status geopolitically in the earth. Well, Jesus wasn't doing that. He's just going around preaching the kingdom of God is here and healing people. And so John the Baptizer, because people call him John the Baptist, and he wasn't Baptist. But John sent a message to Jesus through his disciples, and here's what because John was in prison, and so they came to Jesus. They said, all right, listen, John has sent us with a question. Are you really the one, or should we be looking for somebody else? Is this really of God? Is this what John wants to know? Is your ministry, is this that's going on, is this really what he thought it was? Or is this just something we need to ignore, and is somebody else going to come and really bring the move of God? It was a valid question. Because John was, again, this was not shaping up to be what he thought it should be. So look at Jesus' answer. They were saying, is this of God? Here's what Jesus' answer was. Jesus replied to them in verse 4, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And if anyone is not offended because of me, he's blessed." Blessed or happy is he who is not offended because of me. All right. All right, here. Yeah, that's all right. I know she didn't get far. So, all right, here's the deal, everybody. I want you to see what's happening here. John says, "Is this of God?" And Jesus' reply was, "I'll tell you how to identify a move of God. You can tell whether or not God's in something. Here's how to know. Are the lame walking? The deaf hearing? The blind seeing? The dead being raised? Not yet. Are people having the gospel preached to them? Yeah. So when we're talking about this thing called the Bay of the Holy Spirit revival, and y'all, frankly, honestly, I don't have any more anxiety about the term revival. You can call it whatever you want to. If God's in it, God's in it. I don't care what you call it. So let's call it revival. But we also understand that it needs to be more than what historical revivals have become. It needs to grow into a full kingdom expression all over the city and then some. So I look at this and I have to ask myself, are the lame walking? Y'all, I've seen it happen. Saw it with my own eyes to a friend. Nobody can ever take that away. The lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, and the gospel is being preached. The good news of the kingdom of God, the cross of Jesus is being preached. So honestly, I look at that and say, all right, I think we can safely say this is a move of God. So you need to know, and I'm not going to ever do this again, everybody. I'm not going to talk about this again like this. But as this gets some momentum and in light of what's happened, I just needed to say to you, as pastor of Deeper Life for this church, I am fully embracing this move of God. I'm ready. Listen, when I'm telling you, Conley and Signa Bodishball, when they came Tuesday night, they weren't sure what to think. When Signa got healed, Conley is all in, baby. I mean, all his chips are in the middle of the table. Stephen Simpson at Covenant Church, Stephen bought all of his status updates are about this. Man, he saw it too. He's all in. I'm telling you, we are all in. Now, there is a risk to do that as a church because you say, well, and I'm going to be honest with you, as leadership, would say, well, what if it ends badly? Well, I'm willing to take that chance. He says, well, you know, the revival in South Florida ended badly where that minister was found to be, you know, in a relationship with another woman. They got divorced. You know what? I can't speak to that one. But I look at this, and here's what I'm telling you. The lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the gospel is being preached. To me, it has the hallmarks of a genuine move of God. And having spent some time with John Kilpatrick and Nathan Morris, I can tell you, I have full and complete confidence in their integrity and their ability and gifting to pastor this thing. So I don't have a problem with it. So I'm just telling you, it's not, you know, people say, well, it divides churches. Well, it doesn't have to. I'm just telling you, my official stance is I've embraced it, and I encourage you to go. He said, Mark, I went. I didn't feel anything. Okay, go again. So I still don't feel anything. I don't care. I mean, the thing is, keep going. Whether you feel anything or not, I'm not even saying go till you feel something. That's not even the important thing. Just go and soak in the presence of worship. Man, I mean heart-filled, passionate worship of God. Testimonies of people being healed. I mean, documentable stuff. This lady came the other night, had been healed of lupus. She'd had lupus all her life. Her mother died at 42 years of age of lupus. She had been in pain all of her life, and she brought her doctor's report now that says negative. Yeah. Which, for those of you who are not familiar with medical things, that's good. And so it's encouraging just to be there, just to be. Listen, last night we were there, and man, Nathan gave the altar call, and just like at Brownsville, I'm telling you, I mean, hundreds of people flooded the altar. I mean, many of them, some to get right with God, some to get saved. I saw big, burly, strong, bald guys weeping like babies. I said, yeah, I think this is the Lord. So Jesus said, "Here's just look at it. Here's what you know. Then, you know, it's all right to embrace this." Okay. Now, so what do we do then? Well, all right. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. Let me show you something here. 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 18. On Thursday, you guys, y'all need to understand something. I've seen Delia walk. I saw it happen that night. I've seen it two or three, I've seen it four times now. I've been right there with her as she's walked. And yet, in fact, I'm going to tell you a story real quick. Nathan told a story about when he saw an incredible healing in one of his crusades somewhere he was preaching. Incredible healing. Everybody's so excited. He got so excited, he started running a lap around the crusade field. But even though he saw it with his eyes, as he started running, the enemy spoke to him and said, "You did not just see that." He said, "By the time I got through running that lap, I had convinced myself that that miracle did not happen." He said, "The next morning, I was wondering if any of that was true." He said, "So that the next night, I went back to that meeting, saw that guy on the front row, ran back to him and looked. It was his legs." He said, "And I saw he was healed, and I said, 'Enemy, I will never listen to you again.'" He said, "Because this is the only place the enemy can fight you. Can't fight you here, but he'll fight you right here." And so we just choose, I'm not going to listen to that again. But on Thursday, after all I'd seen, I was saying, "God, really, is this you?" And, you know, we see people having manifestations and falling out, all this, and saying, what honestly separates this from, you know, other religions around the world that have similar manifestations when they have meetings? I mean, honestly, it's a good question. And people are going to ask you that. Well, what about this? What about that? Is this demonic? Is this of the devil because people are reacting this way? I can tell you right now, and for everything I'm worth, it is not of the devil. I mean, you know, this is God. I mean, I'm not even giving any room for it to be of the enemy. I mean, this is God. So, but as I began to think about that, I thought, well, what is it makes the difference? And the Lord brought me to a scripture, 1 Kings 18, verse 20. This is when Elijah, the prophet of God, there's a contest about to happen on the top of Mount Carmel with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And they're having a pray-off to determine whose God is real. And so what they've done is each of them you've got on opposite sides of the field, and they've cut up all these bulls and oxen as sacrifices and built altars, laid them on the altars. And here's the terms of the competition. Chapter 18, verse, what'd I say? Is that where I am? Okay, I got it. So Ahab summoned all the Israelites and the prophets at Mount Carmel. Then Elijah approached all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people didn't answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I am the only remaining prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us. They are to choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. I will prepare the other bull and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call the name of Yahweh. The God who answers with fire, he is God." And all the people answered, "That sounds good." All right, so they prepare it, and then even Elijah even tells to them, he says, "Okay, you guys go first." So they start dancing around and cutting themselves and wailing out to Baal, and nobody does, and there's no fire. And he says, "Okay, maybe he's on vacation. Yell louder." Nothing happens. So finally, they're all wasted, and it gets to be his turn. He says, "I tell you what, let's do this. My bull is on the altar, but here's what I want to do. Let's dig a trench around the altar, and let's pour all these gallons and gallons and drums of water. Let's just make it harder. Let's make it harder for God to do this. Let's pour water all over the offering, down the altar." And then he prays, and he says, "God, if you're God, show up." And fire comes out of heaven, burns up the bull, the altar, all the water turns to steam, licks up every bit of water there. I mean, it is completely dry. The fire of God burns so intensely, nothing is left. And then Elijah kills all the prophets of Baal. So, We can't get that far today, but as I was praying, the Lord had brought me to that. And so rolling around in my head all day, what's this, Friday? Rolling around in my head all day Friday was this thing, the God who answers by fire, he's God. And so if you were there Friday when Nathan pointed, you know, some of us called us up on stage and called me up on stage and prayed for fire for me, that was the Lord saying, I'm answering by fire. I'm God, and you know it. And the Lord was just, he was just reaffirming that for me. So, yeah. Yeah. Hang on, hey, can you give me rest for just a moment? Is that all right? I'm going to do one more thing, and then we'll do this. Okay, good. Rest for just a moment. Let me just show y'all one more thing so that we can just let that flow. Turn to John chapter 12. I'm going to show you what to do with the things that you read that discourage you. Or if you hear something, somebody says, oh, you know what, these men are carrying her. She's not really walking. And if God is God, how come he didn't heal her all the way, right away? How come the muscles have to come? You read all this negative stuff. Here's what I want to show you. John chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus speaking, he says, now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But this is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Now, a lot of people are standing around when he says this. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus responded, this voice came not for me, but for you. Listen, when God manifests himself, when he reveals himself, when he speaks from heaven, when he gets a paralytic out of the wheelchair, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have three responses. Some people are going to see it and hear it as God and give him glory. Some people are going to hear what God said and they're going to say, man, that was the Lord, that was God. Other people, though, will start trying to define a realm that they don't even have the equipment to identify. Amen. And so they're looking into the things of God, but maybe they're lost or they're spiritually dead or they've made up their mind that this can't be God. And so what's going to happen, their response is going to be, you know, I heard something. Something's happening. I mean, I saw that lady walk, but since I can't identify God in this, because I can't see God in it, because they can't see him at all, because they're blind, I have to go off of my past experience. And based on my experience, here's what this must be. This must be a hoax. Based on my experience, this must be a scam. This must be preachers trying to raise money. This must be people putting on a show. Based on my experience, I see something, and here's what it is, but it's not God. Or there are other people who say, you know what, I do believe in spiritual realities. So based on my experience, I have to say it must have been an angel. Yesterday, I was on the AL.com site and I was reading an article there and looked at a few of those comments. One of the first ones said, oh, what a scam, nothing real about this. And of course, I know differently, we were there. Another one, though, said, no, said, you know, these things can happen. And it started talking about stories about people who've lifted weights bigger than they should be able to lift. And they said, we can do anything we put our mind to with enough faith in ourselves. See, those are the people who say, maybe it was an angel. There's something beyond what I understand, but I'm not willing to say it's God. I'm not going to give God the glory. I'm not willing to say our God is greater. Our God is a healer. I know there's something going on here, and I'm not going to be one of these people who just tries to explain it away naturally because it can't be explained. But here's the thing. It's a spiritual reality. It's, y'all, this is what we call Oprah theology. There's a spiritual thing going on, but I can't really identify it as God. As when, if you hear or run across or read any of this stuff in response to what the Lord is doing, it's going to be one of those three things. That is God. Glory to our God. How awesome is our God. Jesus is the healer. Or it's going to be, ain't nothing about that that's God. There's got to be a natural explanation for it, and I'm going to find it. Even if it's just a scam. Just thunder. See, those people say, nah, it wasn't God. It was just thunder. Oh, that wasn't the Lord. Delia didn't. She didn't really walk. She could walk already. It was her twin sister. I hadn't heard that yet, but it's coming. I guarantee it. Yeah. I know. Now her twin sister's in the video with her. I know. That's camera tricks. See, this is what I'm saying. The person who says, I'll believe when an amputee's limbs grow back, they won't. Because until they get eyes to see and ears to hear, all they're going to hear is thunder. They won't hear God speak. They'll just hear thunder. Does that make sense? So guys, listen, here's what I'm saying. Don't let that discourage you. Be part of that army who is in tune with the realm of God. Jim Hilton, I called him in and talked to him about this, and he said this. He said, Mark, there's questions about it we have. About, you know, why didn't God bring her back to walking all the way? Why doesn't God always heal immediately like that? He said, listen, if we who have ears to hear and eyes to see don't understand everything, how in the world can we expect people who are blind and deaf to spiritual realms, how can we expect them to understand it at all? And so our response to them is not to get an argument with them, but to say, no, if we can encourage them along their path, if they're really seeking, we can say, listen, I want to encourage you. This really is the Lord. I know this. Then yeah. But you know, nobody ever gave their heart to Christ because they lost an argument. And so when that happens, listen, here's our response to them. Just like Jesus. Father, forgive them. They don't see it. They're dead. The God of this age has blinded them. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They can't see what's going on. God, just would you forgive them? I'll die for them. Amen. See, guys, our response is not to get angry or to get defensive, but it's just to say, hey, listen, man, I'm telling you, I've heard God speak. I've seen God move. I know the Lord's doing something. Whether you understand it or not, it's not going to sway me, but I'll pray for you. Okay? Yeah, Bill. Yes, sir. Yeah, nobody's asking you to believe. We're just saying, that's right. See, and this is where we've said before that Jesus said, I didn't come onto the scene to condemn the world, to judge the world, but because I'm here, the world is judged already. What he's saying is when Jesus steps on the scene, the hearts of people's hearts that are soft and are seeking God will respond to him when he steps on the scene. The people whose hearts are already hardened toward God and who are already determined to live their own way, they will not respond toward God no matter what they see because their hearts are hard already. They judge themselves. When Jesus steps on the scene, the world is judged already. Not because he's judging it, they're judging themselves. That's right. See, so that's the kind of stuff we're seeing that you're going to see hover around this thing. Let me just tell you, as this revival gains momentum and speed, it will become more controversial. It just will. That's not going to die out. You understand? It's not going to be that in a month everybody's just going to be happy with it and let it go. I mean, John Kilpatrick talks about this being a revival that becomes so strong that it shuts down Mardi Gras. You wait till February. And you see, we'll see how controversial this thing is. If people can't have their balls in exhibit hall of the convention center because we're having a revival meeting, we'll see how controversial it is. So, guys, I'm telling you. Yeah, we'll have our own parade. Led by the lame walking. So, again, you understand, I'm just saying, guys, listen. We're following the ark of God. Gird up your loins. It's time. It's time to be ready to follow the Lord wherever he's going. And I'll be honest with you, I'm willing. We're going to have to pay a price for that. I don't know what it'll be, but I'm willing. If the Lord had said, if he had come to me, I told Mary this, if the Lord had come to me on Thursday, August 26th, and if he had said, Mark, how much would you be willing to pay for me to heal Delia and have her walk again? and for you to see it. How much is that worth to you? I would have given everything that I have, and I would have committed everything that I would have for the rest of my life to see that. I would. Now, the miracles of God are not for sale. He doesn't require that of us, but I'm telling you, I would have, if I'd known that was, if the Lord, if God put that on my shoulders and said, Delia can walk if you will pay the price, I would do it. Because nothing is worth more than seeing heaven touch earth, seeing the realm of heaven invade earth. There's nothing like that. And so I still have that choice about things that haven't even happened yet. So I've had to say, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm just along for the ride. So now, I'm not going to take another Sunday, probably. I'm sure I won't. I'm not trying to defend the revival because I don't have to defend God. I don't have to. John and Nathan have not asked me to defend anything. That's not the point here. I want to encourage you that as you go forward, as you walk into something, as people start having their excuses, you need to figure out which one of those three people they are. Are they hearing God? Do they ascribe it to an angel? Or they hear thunder? And that'll help you know where to put it. But I can't stop now. I just can't. I will tell you, there's a service tomorrow night at 7, a special Labor Day service. The biggest service they had after Brownsville, after revival broke out there, was the first Labor Day after revival started. 6,500 people showed up. And I'm going, because I told you guys when I got back from sabbatical, but what the Lord has spoken to me about, my seven-year cycles of His, those seasons that God, I can trace every 7 years of my life, the beginning of a new season, walk with God. And tomorrow, I'm going to that Labor Day service because tomorrow is my 49th birthday. Now, if you brought gifts today, you can leave them at the door. But if, no, it's not about that. I'm not trying to tell you my birth. What I'm saying is it's the day of seven-year cycles. And I'm just anticipating. Yeah, Mary.
Yeah. It's going to change everything in your life. As a Christian, it will change everything in your life. There's a price to be paid for that. It's, if you believe that God is that active in Delia's life, then He can be that active in your life, and it causes you to evaluate how you spend your money, how you spend your time,
yeah,
what you watch on television, your relationship, what you say.
That's right. That's right.
That's the question for all of us. And there's a price to be paid for that.
Mm.
What we are living for worth Christ dying for? Like Leonard Ravenhill.
Remember, we brought that quote back from the end of sabbatical on Ravenhill's tombstone. Is what are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Y'all, if this is real, if God is in it, it requires a response from us. We either follow or we walk away. I've seen too much to walk away. So, all right, let me do this. Ramona, come on up. Can you? Right there. All right, let's get you a microphone here.
Listen to the sound. Hear the sound. It is a sound of strength and joy and determination to hold on no matter what. It is the sound of the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. It is a sound that cannot be heard with physical ears, but with spiritual ears. It is loud and clear for those who have ears to hear, for those who choose to know and follow the sound. It is a sound that rings true in the hearts of those who follow on the path of truth. Listen to the sound. Hear its tone, hear its vibration, its resonation, its reverberation in your heart. Deep calls to deep at the sound of the voice of the Lord. It is loud, it is quiet, it rings true. Listen to the sound and hear it above all else.